Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is one of the utmost formative experts in everything social selling. And I met Bryn at a trade show, I think it was. And when I went to their booth, she'll tell you about the other professionals that she with whom she works. And I was just blown away by the knowledge of what they know about social selling. And so I've asked Bryn to come on the podcast today because not only is she the author of the LinkedIn Sales Playbook, a tactical guide to social selling, which you can get on Amazon and probably other places too, but she is really very knowledgeable about how to incorporate social selling into what we do, our direct outreach. You know, the reason why you listen to my podcast is all about predictability. Well, there may be a way to utilize social selling to help with that consistent predictability, repeatability that we're looking for in building our pipelines. Bryn, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
You are one of, I think, four or five now that have come together as a group of experts to help us understand what social selling is, how to leverage it in our business. And I'd like to talk about prospecting because that's my favorite topic, but I'm sure you cover the entire pipeline. And also,
I like the prospecting piece.
Yeah, good. And also, you know, understand where do we begin if we're a newbie? And I consider myself a newbie. I have connections on LinkedIn that I don't really know what to do with. So you can start wherever you want. I'm really intrigued by the collection of professionals that are now your team. But the floor is yours. The first question I always have is, you know, what is the title is The Tactical Guide to Social Selling. What does that mean?
Oh, that's my book. So my book is The LinkedIn Sales Playbook, a Tactical Guide to Social Selling. And it really, that's exactly what it is it walks you step by step from the first minute all the way through the social selling journey, primarily with LinkedIn, but there's a little Twitter in there thrown in a bit, but primarily LinkedIn. And it really covers essentially the four major areas of social selling, which is first the profile, and which is your foundation. And that's how do you present yourself as a thought leader and subject matter expert, attract, teach, and engage your buyers, and get them curious and wanting to take your call. Mm-hmm. The second piece is how do you engage your new and existing network and stay top of mind, be seen as that thought leader through sharing content, both original and curated, and ultimately build a reputation and credibility as the subject matter expert. The third one is prospecting, which I totally, absolutely am obsessed with. And it's how do we find and engage with targeted stakeholders by leveraging our current network to get warm introductions? And how do we get on the radar of people that we would normally have cold called? And warm it up so by the time we get on the call, it's probably scheduled and they're excited to talk to us. And the fourth piece, which I think is absolutely critical, is content. So, you know, how are we feeding our network thought leadership and thoughts and ideas and strategies and insights that lead them back to our solution?
Okay, wow.
So, yeah.
So foundation is profile. Is LinkedIn still seen as a glorified job description, you know, talking about what it is you do in terms of in the eyes of getting another job? Or is profile the selling piece, the big business card, the billboard of who you are as a professional and how you help others?
That's a great question. So if you are in business development, you really want to make sure that you are building your profile that engages your targeted audience. And a glorified resume doesn't do it. And years ago, I coined the term from resume to resource, and it sort of stuck. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the goal. Like, what does our audience care about? In fact, let's go one level higher and say, what is our goal of social selling? And in most cases, the goal of social selling is to get more phone calls with qualified buyers. It's not to actually sell anything except to close people on wanting to have a conversation. So if you look at it from that perspective, then we have to make sure that everything that we're doing is working toward that goal. And that includes our profile. So they don't care about your mission, your passion, your years in business yet. You haven't earned the right for them to care about you personally. All they care about is, you know, what's of value to them. So when you can convert from a resume to a resource and you're providing insights, you are creating both curiosity and credibility. And when you get the right person at the right time, they're going to raise their hand and want to have a conversation.
And when you say raise their hand, is that connecting with you, or is that the fact that they viewed your profile? What, you know, for us in direct outreach, there are three areas that we can engage. We obviously can engage when someone replies to our request. We can also engage when someone links through to a content piece that we attached in our email or left a voicemail and directed them to. And at the very high level, if they open our email, that could be enough for us to connect that way. What is the LinkedIn sort of hierarchy of when it is appropriate to start connecting and start sending messages to prospects?
So I love the cadence part of that question, like what versus hierarchy, like what do we do to grab their attention and get them to our profile and get them to a phone call? So there are a few things that you can do initially before you connect with them. You can like and comment and engage on content that they've shared. Mm-hmm. You can follow them. You can engage with people in their inner circle. So if they actually engage with people on LinkedIn, you can engage with them. Like you can sort of drop your presence in little mini bite-sized pieces. And then when you actually do reach out on LinkedIn, it's, you know, hey, I've been following you for a couple of days. I've seen some content that you've shared or you've engaged on. I had a chance to look at your profile. I'm really, you know, really interested in, say, something personal, you know, about them. And I'd love to connect, and I have some insights I can share with you once we do. Now you connect with them, and then you send a welcome message, and you determine, you know, what is my cadence of a welcome message? So is my cadence to get them to a piece of content? Is it to ask them for a phone call? Like, you know, what? How quickly does it make sense? So maybe the next piece is, you know, Mary Lou, thanks so much for connecting with me on LinkedIn. I'm not sure if this is what I might say. I'm not sure if you're using LinkedIn for sales, but I wanted to share these resources with you that really may be of benefit. I'd love to hear your feedback, right? And so now you've provided something of value, and I use Point Drive, which is an enterprise-level sales navigator product. So I can see Point Drive is sort of the landing page of content. So I can see who stopped by, how long they were there, what they downloaded. So that's pretty cool. And so now I engage with them based on what they read, or, you know, and I may even, of course, I want to ask that question. If I know that they clicked through, I can certainly respond to them with that knowledge. If I know they didn't click through, I can respond to them with that knowledge. But I would say if I end most of my messaging with, you know, either I'd love to hear your feedback or can I ask you a question, I get probably 10 to 20% of those folks that actually start a conversation.
That's a pretty good number.
It's pretty good, yeah. And, you know, the other piece is, how do I warm them up before I have a phone call with them?
Right.
If I share a really good piece of insight with them, something that's, like, really moving, I might follow up with a message that now says, you know, I hope you got some value from the content they shared. I'd love to jump on a quick call and share some additional insights specifically to your situation. Even if we never work together, I'm confident the call will provide a lot of value. There's a link to my calendar. Pick a time that works best for you. Yeah, that's one way. Or if I'm going to reach out, I could say, I'll be reaching out next week. I'd love to share additional insights. If you'd like to schedule sooner, here's a link to my calendar. And when you do that, you've actually told them that you will be calling them. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, even if there's a gatekeeper, is she expecting your call? Yes. Right? Like we said,
right.
You were calling.
Right. Like that as well.
Yeah.
Because the numbers, we did a little mini test in one of my classes, since I'm not a LinkedIn expert, but we did a high level permission-based test where we sent to a prospect that we were hoping to connect with. We told them about an article that we had written that we thought may be of interest to them. And the email or that message in LinkedIn just really said, please get back to me if you think this article is of interest and I'll send you the link. So we didn't even include the link inside the body of that first request. We just put the fact that we had this document. We gave them some results of what they could expect if they were to read the document and implement, and then politely asked them to get back to us with the link. And we had, in some cases, a 40% return. So for every 100 we sent out manually, because we didn't have a tool to do any type of automated process, we got 40 back saying, yeah, send me the link. I'd love to see what you got.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So that's why I'm all excited about this, but not really sure from there how to, I know this term probably doesn't fit well with social selling, but how to mechanize that process so that you do this on a daily basis or whatever you're prospecting, it mm-hmm. becomes habit to reach out to X number of people with this type of cadence, as you call it. And mm-hmm. and with the goal, this call to action may be different depending on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. But you know, it seems to me what you're saying is there's a rhythm here. There's a maybe a daily interaction of doing this or
yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And
yep.
Same thing with segmentation.
Yeah,
I mean based on segmenting accounts and doing all that just like we do.
So yeah, I mean this is sales. It's just
yeah.
using social as a tool. So I you know, it's certainly not siloed by any means. It really does need to align with whatever your other sales activities are. Really, social selling makes sales easier. It's the best way to look at it. So the highest level of magic of LinkedIn, what LinkedIn provides that no other tool in the world does, is the ability to search and filter your connections. So you can identify who in your network can help you gain access to targeted people, right? So, and there's a lot of different ways to do this. If you're ABM or, you know, account-based marketing or account-based salesperson, or if the world is your oyster, whatever that looks like, we do is figure out, like, who is your ideal, like, your client, your buyer persona using LinkedIn filters. And then we use the second degree filter. So who in your network knows these ideal people?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there'll be hundreds, if not thousands. It's amazing the level of connections that, you know, one degree holds for us. So now I have the opportunity to either look broadly or look at one person's connections and see who they know. So if it's a networking opportunity where, you know, I'm meeting someone for coffee, I'll say, hey, go through my connections, pull out, you know, 15, 20 names I can do the same, and when we're together, we can whittle them down to two or three meaningful introductions, number one. If it's a client, how am I identifying who that client is and positioning myself to ask them for referrals?
Mm-hmm.
So those are all really important things to do. Now, if you're going mass scale and you want to connect with, you know, 10 new people every single day, you need to have a plan around that. So maybe it's three companies a week or five, maybe it's a company a day. Maybe you're going after companies. Maybe it's you're going after particular titles and thought, you know, certain industries. Like you got to figure out, like for everyone figures out, like, what do I want to do? How much time do I want to invest in? Where's my biggest bang for the buck?
Right.
When it comes to prospecting. So if it's a call center, and they're expected to make 40 outbound or 40 conversations a day. Sometimes it starts when I start working with a client, if they're outbound, that they're responsible to do.
Mm-hmm.
We might modify that. and say, you know what, the goal isn't really 40 outbounds, but 5 meaningful conversations. So it may not be necessarily an outbound cold. It might be something that got scheduled because I had great engagement on LinkedIn, and I gave them the link to schedule a call with me.
Right.
And
right.
That's probably worth 40 calls. One of those is probably worth 40 outbound dials. So it's reevaluating what our ultimate goal is. And when I talk to, like, I know I'm stuck on inside sales, although, you know, this works across the board, sometimes I'll start with, so what is your goal for your reps? So it's 45 calls a day, 45 dials a day. So that's really your goal? Yes, that's our goal. Well, that should not be your goal. It should be how many people became a lead, how many leads are we getting? You know, or, you know, how many meaningful conversations are we having? And if you think it's 45, I mean, maybe 10 can do it. Maybe you need 100 to do it. But let's set the goal as a results goal that we really want to do. If the activity goal has to come second. We can start with what do we want to achieve and then what activity can we do to get to that goal. And a lot of times, just dial isn't going to get us there. It's a whole, now, believe me, you have to have conversations. That's our goal, is more conversations. But there are a lot of ways to warm things up and get people not just picking up the phone when you call, but excited to talk to you because you are now a thought leader that can help them with insights and can guide them. So I may have gone on a little tangent there, but I think it's really important as sales leaders that we look at, is what we're doing working toward our goal, or is it working towards sort of this number that we put out there because we think it means something?
That's perfect. With my students, we work on what we call a waterfall. And we start with the number of opportunities we're looking to generate, let's say, in a month. From there, we look to see, okay, how many discovery calls, qualification calls, where you're meeting the decision makers together with your team, their team. How many of those do we need in order to generate the number of opportunities that we're looking for? And then we just keep working it up the pipeline, up the funnel, until we get to the number of, in our case, phone conversations or emails that are meaningful in nature that get us that first meeting. And it sounds perfect. Very similar for social selling. But we actually have benchmarks. We actually have at each step a goal in mind to work towards, and we start with the benchmark, and we may exceed it or we may fall short depending on the industry, the prospect types, et cetera, the roles. But we have sort of a baseline of that waterfall. Does something like that exist for social selling, or is it because of the nature of social selling and the personas that it's difficult to do that?
No, I mean, it's very easy to track if you have a CRM.
Yeah.
And we'll put all of the stages. But remember, like, for us, the social selling is aligned with our selling. It's just a tool that we're using throughout the sales process. So depending on where you want to start to measure, is mm-hmm. where you add them into the CRM, right? And then you just track it from there. There are other metrics that you can measure, like the number of new right connections, like out of the search, let's say we're selling to CEOs in the medical field, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, making that up. So we can do a search in someone's connections and see, say you have 9, and then in a month when we meet, you have 40. So now I know that you've got 31 new connections. And we can look at that as one of the benchmarks, right? So now
right.
we can see if our goal was 40 and you got 31, we can see, did that hurt the rest of the benchmark? Or let's say we wanted 25 and you got 31 and you still didn't meet your future benchmark, then maybe 25 is the wrong number.
Right.
We start
okay.
to use the, yeah, we have to adjust the bench, there's usually 5 or 6, maybe 7, depending on how long the process is. Could be as little as 3 for very low cost sales, like the fast transaction.
Right.
But there's no way, if you can't see where it's broken, you can't fix it. So you need to make sure that you're measuring at each stage and then look at where did this stage get you to the next one, meet your goal? So, and each stage builds on it until you get to that result. So you can easily see where the chain is broken, and where the system is failing, so you can change it.
That's
like
great.
Anything.
Yeah, I like that because I like the idea of marking. I call it like on a freeway, we're marking the mile markers, which are the meaningful conversations. We may have points of interest along the freeway that are more meaningful than just the mile markers. And those are the stages. And then we also want to track what goes out, what fell out and why, so that in the next search that we do to build our members to go after, we'll be smarter with our segmentation so that our numbers should improve. But it does sound like it's a crawl, walk, run type of ramp, which I'm happy to hear that too, that you got to put some skin in the game to figure out where it is your sweet spot is, and it's not the same for everybody.
That's correct. And so there are some basics that can work across the board. I mean, there are definitely foundational KPIs that we can work off of. But when we work with the sales team, we try to really do customize it, but align it with their existing stages. Make sure that it works into their CRM and that we're tracking everything appropriately, that the KPIs that we set are based on proven data in the past. So it's not like we're starting from scratch every single time. But right. Every company tends to be slightly different. So.
Yep.
So
let's talk about that
too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We know that from the work that we do in outreach. And a case in point would be we did a campaign where we were looking at liaisons, IT liaison people, and we found in our house list that there were, let's say, 500 of those that we could call into and go after. When we did a LinkedIn search, there were 50,000, same role, same process. So we had to really adjust where we were going to put social selling into that mix because we weren't going to update our list, our house list at all. We needed to really start looking at the social aspect as one of our main channels for prospecting. And once we understood that list size differences, we were able to engage accordingly with the folks, in this case, on LinkedIn. So it made a big difference for us to be able to take a universe of people that would be qualified to have that first meeting with, although most of them sat in a social environment as opposed to inside the company list.
Interesting.
So tell me about, you mentioned a couple of times when we go in with the process, tell us about the relationship you have now and how a typical engagement works from the standpoint of give you the foundation. I'm a company who is wanting to invest sales time using social selling, not really sure, where to begin. And I also have right now an inbound channel that generates maybe 25% of our revenue and the rest of it is direct outreach. But I know the importance of social selling, but I'm not really sure how to go about that. So can you talk us through a typical scenario for onboarding a social selling environment for sales? Perfect.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's really 10 major steps.
Okay.
The very first one is defining the KPIs and your goals and, the desired outcome of the program. And if you don't do that, it's impossible to put together a program that a lot of people will start a social selling program and not have those KPIs identified. And
right.
You can never measure if it's working or not if you don't do it. So starting KPIs. The second one is buyer identification and mapping. And that's really about, a lot of times in sales, we've been taught to, marketing to, create these persona of the people that we're going after. But like, I don't care if they're married with three kids, a dog, and, Mercedes. That's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for are the filters inside of LinkedIn that make up my perfect buyer that, or as close as I can get, based on how I can search for them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it comes with kind of breaking down the search features of our ideal clients today, but we really work at creating great buyer identification mapping and search strings that will make sure that we are getting as close to the ideal buyer as possible when we're doing our searches.
Okay.
The next piece is identifying the content strategy. It's curation, creation, distribution. Like, as an organization, what's our content strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Once we get through that, we're able to choose our digital tools, our productivity tools, which can be anything from free Chrome extensions like Auto Text Expander to scheduling tools like Calendly, all the way to Sales Navigator. Are we using Twitter? Are we using an employee advocacy tool or content sharing platform for the organization? So we really want to decide, you know, what tools are we using and make sure that, you know, it's all through IT and all that kind of stuff. Then we develop our customized playbook that's aligned with our current sales process. So that's taking, like, my book is a generic playbook. So it's the book that's on Amazon. We kind of take that and customize it for each client, or that concept, and customize it for each client, which includes, which is actually goes into step six, but includes developing custom profile, headlines, banners, job descriptions, summaries, to make that we can serve to the client in our playbook, so that they can easily copy and paste for profile and tweak if they want to make it personal. But what we mean about salespeople is if we just tell them to do it, they don't do it. If we serve it up to them on a silver platter, there's a better chance that they'll implement it. But also in that playbook is, you know, what are the daily activities that lead to our KPIs? So mm-hmm. we actually will do that reverse exercise that you talked a little bit about. We do something very similar. So we identify what should the folks be doing on a daily basis. Step seven, so that was like five and six just sort of overlap. But step seven is the training. That's when we roll it all out, train the people how to do it, get them feeling comfortable with the playbook, understanding what their daily activity is. Usually we do workshops so that they are practicing and playing that day. We actually have people, you know, a lot of times you get the, oh, I can't pull my people out of the field for a day. I'm like, you're going to get more appointments in the day in the workshop than you would if they were in the field.
Right.
Because it's really productive. And then we hope through the company that they're driving adoption through gamification. We can help guide that, but gamification and recognition is a big deal, and we have to obviously measure and, you know, we do a lot of, the stop, start, continue. What are we going to stop doing, start doing, continue doing? So we've got to make sure that what we're doing is effective, and then coach for continuous improvement.
Okay. Very cool.
I think I got them all. I hope
so,
I got them all.
If you missed any, everybody knows where to find your book on Amazon, the LinkedIn Sales Playbook, A Tactical Guide to Social Selling. Bryn said mm-hmm. she's outlined the playbook, a generic one, smack dab in that book. So you guys, you know, just start smart, download that, get an understanding of that. And lastly, I want to leave everybody with your connection with the team that you've started, I guess it's about a year ago now, with Vingresso. If you'll give us the why behind that, how you guys came together, and what your charter is to help us get better at social selling.
Well, thank you. So you know, there were a lot of individuals in the marketplace who were sort of all solopreneurs, some slightly entrepreneurs, but there was just a lot of really good people in the marketplace, and Mario, who's the CEO of Vingresso, approached each of us individually and said, how'd you like to join all forces? And I don't think any of us thought that he could make it happen. I mean, initially, I'm like, yeah, if you get Chris Shaver and Vivica Van Rosen, I'll talk to you about it. I was actually the first one that said, if you can get them, I'll say yes. But as we all sort of had, in fact, I think everyone, no one said, like, oh, my gosh, that's going to happen. We all thought it was a great idea, but he pulled it together, and really, it's been amazing just collaborating with some of the best minds in the business and really creating a company that's really making a difference at scale now. Because we could do this for larger companies where we each kind of thought we could, but not nearly the way that we can now that we're all here.
Right. So the team members, Mario Martinez, Vivica von Rosen, Kirk, what's Kirk's last name?
Kirk Shaver.
Shaver. And Bernie Borgia. Yeah.
Right. Great team. So for anyone who's listening to this and wants more information on Vingresso, it's Vingresso with one S that I remember. And I'll put in the show notes for Brynn of how to get a hold of her, how to get a hold of the company. And please, if you're really considering adding social selling as a lever for prospecting, get her book. It's a great way for you to get started and get started smart instead of just, like she said, you got to start with those KPIs. It's the same thing with my world. If you don't do that work, you never know really how successful you can be or how to scale it or even where to begin. So I think that that's a great advice to follow those steps in the order that she indicated. And that's also in the book. Brynn, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. And we wish you the best with your new company and the team. And look forward to reading more and learning more from you all as time progresses. Because LinkedIn is one of those beasts that changes like every 10 seconds, it seems like.
It does. It absolutely does.
Thanks again for your time.
Oh, thank you. Great. Thanks so much.